Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome back to Cincinnati. It's good to have the council in town, adding some life and vitality to the office, and causing the need for shifts for lunch in the dining room. So, but it's exciting to have so many people here. I'm just going to basically talk about three things here this morning, and it won't take too long to bring you up to date on a few items and some news. So you can pass these handouts down the way for everybody to take a copy. I did want to mention here to everyone about the exciting new airtime opportunities for Beyond Today. We blogged about it earlier this week. The staff knows about it, and wanted to bring the council up to date as well for those who are not on our management team blog and may not have seen it. We have an additional cable satellite network that will air Beyond Today starting at the end of the year. So we're very pleased to report that Beyond Today will soon begin airing on another cable satellite television network. And as you know, our programs have been airing nationwide on WGN America since July of 2010, that's last year, with very good results. But now we're going to add the Word Network to our lineup. Now, WGN America is a secular network. It does have religious programming on Sunday mornings. And it reaches 75 million U.S. households. The Word Network telecasts exclusively to a religious audience, to 85 million households in the U.S. So it's a wider reach than WGN America. But it is a religious station. So it's in all 210 U.S. media markets. And I checked my cable lineup last night, and it's on Time Warner Cable here in Cincinnati, channel 386. Of course, I've got like 500 channels on my lineup, you know. But most interestingly, it also reaches viewers in 200 other countries. And that's around the world via satellite. Respondents from those areas would go online to request the literature. But we're airing in 200 countries around the world, and you can go to our Beyond Today website and click and see where all those countries are. It's pretty much everywhere in the world except the Netherlands. The Word Network is not on in the Netherlands, but everywhere else. So beginning December 27, our programs will air twice a week on the Word Network, Tuesdays and Saturdays. Now, the Tuesday airtimes have been selected to test weekday viewership and response in the United States. And as you know, everything we do in media, especially our advertising, is an ongoing test. We're always switching things around, changing things, trying different airtimes, different card packs, new artwork to see what works the best, and we're always trying to improve on what we're doing. So Tuesdays is at 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon, East Coast time. On the West Coast, that's 11:30 a.m., so it's a very good West Coast time. It's not way early in the morning like we are in WGN, but it is a weekday test to see what happens. Now, Saturdays is a test of the rest of the world, not the U.S. primarily. But what we have here on Saturdays is it airs here in Cincinnati at 1:30 a.m. So that's Friday night, right? 1:30 a.m. Saturday morning. So we won't... Not a lot of viewers here, but on the West Coast, that's 10:30 p.m. That's just after prime time, Friday night on the West Coast. So that is a very good time in, say, Los Angeles. But then when you start to go around the world, that's Saturday morning, 6:30 a.m. in the UK. And that'll also be France and Italy. And France, Italy, Poland, 7:30 a.m. South Africa, Israel, right up through Africa, at 8:30 a.m. Saturday. Philippines at 2:30 p.m. So it's Saturday afternoon. South Korea, Japan, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, that would be 5:30 p.m. on Saturday.
So it's early prime time viewing on Saturday there in New Zealand, 6:30 p.m. Now, that's the latest news on the Word Network, and we're glad to see exactly how it goes. We have been encouraged to know that some other affiliates, shall we say, of ours have been successful on the Word Network. Now, besides testing our programs there, we're also going to make some airtime changes beginning January 1st. In Chicago, we're currently on the ION Network station there, WCPX, and we're going to move from 9:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. in Chicago. Right now, we're following an infomercial, a widget or whatever it is, and we're just not getting the audience we need for the dollars we're spending, not getting the responses. So what we're going to do is go much earlier to 8 a.m., and we'll follow Charles Stanley. Right now, Charles Stanley is the number two televangelist in the country, after Joel Osteen, I believe. And then that gal is number three.
Joyce Meyer.
Yeah. We will follow Stanley at 8 o'clock in Chicago to see if that makes a difference with our responses. Same cost. In San Francisco, we're going to move from 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. for exactly the same reason. We're going to follow Charles Stanley and see if we can get better results. Okay? And quite honestly, if we don't get better results, those stations will be it. We will not spend the money any longer. So this is to try and improve what we've been doing. Once again, like I said, it's always testing and trying to improve. No airtime change in Los Angeles, but the lead in... Sorry, that was Chicago, San Francisco. Would get next. Now, Los Angeles, we're on the ION network there. We have been unhappy with the results there also, but they just changed the lead in. It's not Charles Stanley, it's another ministry. They just changed the lead-in. We're going to see if that helps us in Los Angeles instead of following an infomercial. But Chicago, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, the guillotine's being raised right now because we've not been happy with the results for the cost. Hoping that following a better lead-in will help us. In Seattle, we're canceling altogether. Three or four responses a week just wasn't cutting it for what we're spending.
See, they consider that to be God's country. They already are close to God.
They don't need it.
That's a lot of them feel.
Yeah. But remember, though, that the Word Network is giving us Friday evening just after prime time on the West Coast, and Friday mornings, was it? Tuesday mornings. Weekday as well. So we will have that Word presence all up and down the West Coast and around the world anyway, even if we cancel these other stations if they don't produce. So as we take this step to realign things a little bit, we'd certainly appreciate everybody's prayers. I'll send a note out to the rest of the ministry later this week with this information for those who didn't get the management team blog update, and make sure they know about it. And hopefully it provides an excitement in other countries where those who have satellite can view the program. And it's not everybody, of course. Roy?
I know you gave us the potential audience, but do we know actual figures of how many people watch the Word Network?
No, we don't. Did it go off? Uh-oh. Battery change. We don't know how many people actually watch, and that's because... religious broadcasting is not part of the Nielsen rating system. So, for example, Sunday morning on WGN, there's no reporting. We have done some rough estimates of our own, wondering what we might have. And of the 300 million people in the U.S., on a Sunday morning, we'd say it'd be a maximum of 1 million that would be watching. That time of morning and close to WGN on the dial. But we don't know for sure. No, we do not. Melvin?
You mentioned that it's on cable. Is it also on satellite or antenna? Is it available on
WGN or The Word?
The Word, sorry.
The Word Network is satellite in the rest of the world. But in the U.S., it's cable and satellite.
Well, it's not available in any city as just over the air.
It is not on broadcast. No, the word network is not broadcast. I think they have maybe, I think they have one broadcast station in the U.S. In the Midwest somewhere. I don't have it with me. I think they have one broadcast station. And the word network's goal is to eventually have broadcast stations around the country.
You can get it on direct TV.
Yeah, so it's on satellite. And it's on cable, and I think they have one broadcast station. Yeah. So, Dr. Ward, you had your hand up?
No, I was just saying you can get it on direct TV. I have direct TV. It's on.
Yeah. And like I said, they're in all 210 U.S. markets if you have cable or satellite. You'll get it. Unless you just have the basic, like, 10 channels or something for, the very, very minimum of all. So that's an exciting update. I put here on the handout for you some of the comments that were left on our blog. Some say the gospel's already been preached, so there's no need to do so anymore. Matthew 24:14 implies it ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over. So there's one comment for you. Number five down there, this is fantastic news. The Beyond Today programs and the BT Daily are the best. These not only preach the gospel, but they're also preparing a people. It's so inspiring and encouraging to watch the programs, so thanks to God and to each of you. Number six is thankful that we're spreading the gospel throughout the world. Number seven, BT going overseas at last. And of course, I might mention that Australia is doing a test out of their own budget, and they are on the air in Brisbane right now and have been for 1 month. So Beyond Today is on broadcast television in Brisbane on a small station and has been for about a month. And maybe they'll expand that as they have opportunity. BT Daily was mentioned here in comment number five, and that is just 1 to 2 weeks old now. Just before Thanksgiving, we launched BT Daily, which is a daily commentary by Darris, Steve, or Gary Petty, sometimes them together, on the news of the day. For example, today's, when it goes up at noon, is about December 7th, and you'll know what happened on December 7th. You know what the anniversary is today. It wasn't Medicare and drugs. It was something about a day in infamy.
Yeah.
So that's the topic for today. A hand went up in the back. Darris?
Back to the Brisbane station. Do we have any results yet on the airing in Brisbane?
I don't have any results from Brisbane. Do you know, Bradford,
if anything's come through? The first 3 weeks, it's costing us about $200 a time. And we got three responses the first week, two the second, and five the third week.
Ah, so almost 100% increase over 3 weeks.
Well, that's a nice way of looking at it.
So they're running about $50 a response, right? $40 a response, but it will come down as you develop an audience and people start to find it on the dial.
We have no advertising. It just stands out there by itself.
Yeah, it's just there by itself. Yeah. And that's on a... Is that a Sunday morning, Bradford?
Sunday morning. Yeah, 7:30.
7:30 a.m. Sunday, Brisbane. I think it's Channel 31. So that's Beyond Today. I'll follow up on what Vic had to say about the Kingdom of God Bible seminars. I might mention that we are in the middle of advertising for those now. The Last Good News and the Next Good News both have a one-page ad in the Good News for the seminars. Most of them are being held January 21 or January 28. Some are being held in February here in the United States. And we have Beyond Today mentioning them every program as well. And they're also being advertised on Google. December 1st, we started Google ads for the Kingdom of God Bible seminars. We've had 500 people go and look for their city on the list. We can track how far in they go from the ad, and we've had 500 people go and look at the city that's near them. And not all of them, of course, sign up. They're just being curious. But we will advertise on Google. We will be in the Good News and on Beyond Today. And every time we send out a booklet from the mailroom, this flyer goes out with the booklet request. And right now we're sending out 30,000 to 50,000 a month booklets. Some of those are multiple requests, but we send out up to 50,000 booklets a month right now. So that's about maybe 20,000 mailings, of which these flyers will be in there as well to advertise them. And the date is not on here. This can be used
for future mailings. It just says you have to go to the seminar website to look for your city and find the date. So in places like cities that aren't advertising or aren't airing in January, aren't presenting in January, people see it's in February or wherever.
Peter, I have a question on that. With the seminars coming, basically the 21st, 28th, you mentioned the good news, you know, got the home one. When does the good news get into homes?
Okay.
When does it go on? When does the edition go on to the web page? So
that,
do we have a 2 or 3 week period?
We do. It will go on the website January 1st, the good news will, January 1st, and it'll be in the mail at, probably a few days before that as well.
So we're hitting that first week of
January. Yeah, the first week of January will be in the good news. Some pastors have decided to send a letter out or a postcard as well to advertise it in their area. I might mention that at the moment there are 465 people signed up for January, February. I just looked a moment ago. We're in the USA plus 5 other countries right now. We have 154 US cities listed and 31 international cities listed. And I've been trying to encourage international cities that are doing it to get on the list as soon as possible, because we are advertising right now. The Google ads are going into Canada. The Google ads are going into Australia. Beyond Today's going now around the world starting January on Word Network. So anybody that wants to attend in their country is going to go to that seminar website and look for their city. So right now we have 28 signed up for New York City, 25 for Dallas, 18 for Lexington, and our congregation in Lexington is only a few people, 18 there, 16 in Las Vegas, 15 in Washington, D.C., 12 in Toronto, 11 in Redding, California. And then the list goes on. But I can go online and see people signing up live, and people signing up this morning. So the list is starting to grow. The ads are starting to take effect. So certainly appreciate your prayers for that. We're waiting on a second PowerPoint presentation to be prepared, and then Vic will be sending out the outlines and the slides later this week or early next week to all the pastors. And like he said, some of our pastors who are busy, have lots of congregations, or maybe new as pastors, really appreciate the outlines and the slides to use to supplement their presentation. So I believe you'll be really, really happy. I think the scripts are even a step up from last time. We're improving as we go. I've encouraged those who haven't even done a seminar yet to start with Seminar 2. There's no need to go back to Seminar 1 and start with that, because it's standalone enough where you can use the new material, and it keeps everybody on the same page, because when you go to our website and sign up, it gives you the topics, and then the topics for Seminar 2, not Seminar 1, that everybody sees. So like in Australia where they haven't done them before, I'd recommend do Seminar 2, not Seminar 1, because it's all new material. That's what we're advertising on the website, and also it's standalone material. And in months to come, it can be repeated. You know, next year, if we recycle this, Seminar 1 will come back up again anyway. Randy?
Additionally, every seminar will talk about the kingdom of God, because mm-hmm. it's the kingdom of God seminar. Even when we talk about repentance and faith, it's all in the context of the kingdom of God. So they aren't missing anything when they pick up midstream.
Right. So one other item. I might mention that we'll be sending a new booklet to the printers the end of this week, How to Understand the Bible in French. Maurice Pepworth and her team, one of them is her nephew from France, he does the layout, Raphael Bernal, have finished a French booklet, How to Understand the Bible. We only have 10 French booklets completed since United began. So this will make number 11, and they hope to do one or two a year. George the Campus is on track to do 5 or 6 booklets a year in Portuguese. And our Spanish publishing is on schedule. We haven't missed an issue. There's new material out all the time. And they also have a really good electronic e-blast that goes out several times a month to quite a few Spanish brethren and readers about the work of the church in Spanish. So our international areas, not counting right now Germany or Italy, but those that we've had to help revitalize, especially the French and the Spanish work, is really doing well. So, and a new French booklet going to the press at the end of the week.
One area that you may not think a lot about are Facebook pages for the church. We have a Good News Facebook page, a United Church of God Facebook page, a Beyond Today Facebook page, a World News and Prophecy Facebook page, a free Bible study guides Facebook page, and a Kingdom of God Bible Seminars Facebook page. I might mention that right now we have 13,000 friends of our Good News website. 13,000. 7,500 for the church. And we have 5,000 for Beyond Today. 5,000 people who like Beyond Today or are friends with Beyond Today. So when we post something new, they see it on their wall, on their news feed. World News and Prophecy, 3,700. And for our free Bible study guides, we have 3,200 people that follow our free Bible study guides. And a lot of that material from the freebiblestudyguides.org website that we have is going into the Good News as a special section of two-page short Bible studies for our readers to do. And the Kingdom of God Bible Seminars have 500 friends at the moment. So that's a quick update for you. Little TV, Bible seminars, and the web. Any questions or thoughts before I...
Mr. Ziegler.
Just one question about the Kingdom of God seminars. Are the plans to have a third, fourth, fifth into the future? Is that...
The seminars are designed around four presentations, four days, from Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. And you know that the scripture, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand, repent, believe the gospel. There's four items mentioned there, and those are the basic four themes. And they're every 4 months, so it'll take 16 months to get through all four of those elements. Then, after we've gone through all four of those elements from Mark 1, verse 15, we'll decide if we want to repeat the whole cycle again and make this just a part of our media and ministerial effort as a church. Because we have TV, we have some radio, we've got the internet, we've got the printed word, and then we've got public lectures. And we're seeing if this makes a difference in our overall media ministerial mix as a church. So we'll get through four of these, which will take 16 months. We're on our second right now to begin. But they may repeat, and we'll just make it part of what we do as a church to encourage our readers to get more involved in what we're doing and to spur them on to... Come check us out a little more closely. And like Mr. Kubik said, that's 1,500 people that would not normally have come through the door to see what we're about. So, Mr. Elliott?
Some members have expressed a concern that they're not going to a formal worship service on the Sabbath. Has there been any thought that the Kingdom of God seminars would be placed at a different time, or are they done best on the Sabbath at our normal services time?
The reason we decided to do it at Sabbath service time was so that we didn't have double hall rental costs for the month. So the hall rental cost is not a factor in most places in the U.S. unless you have a really bad hall and you have to rent another place to invite the public to. But generally the idea is not to increase our hall rental costs for that day and do it where church normally meets. What we've encouraged people to do is look at this as a Sabbath Bible study. In fact, some of our congregations that are quite small, that's often how their weekly service goes, more as a Bible study, because there may only be a handful of people there. So for our members, this is more like a Sabbath Bible study, but of course with opening and closing prayer. Some have had some music. But the idea is not to fool our readers into thinking that they've been tricked and they've been invited to a church service, because that is being billed as a Bible seminar, which in the industry is a lot more comfortable for people to go to a seminar. It's less threatening, and they're more likely to come. But, of course, if they come the next week, they'll be there to a full Sabbath service. But one of the reasons was cost. And Mr. Stiver had his hand up.
I've done a lot of thinking about that because we experimented with these for years in Columbus and out west as well. And we've done it various ways where we've had it just as in place of the service. We've also done services in shorter form and then done the seminar in the afternoon. But I think getting down to hearing that report, and I've heard it a number of times, we have some church members who are so inwardly focused that they have no concept of the fact that we are carrying a message to the world, and they've sort of collapsed inward to where they, you know, they feel offended if they don't get their regular church service, when in fact they should be looking outward. Christ preached the gospel on the Sabbath. Paul did, routinely, and didn't necessarily, from the record in Scripture, conduct a formal service of any kind. Whenever the gospel can be preached, it should be preached, and it is spiritual enlightenment for all of us. But I really think that what we're seeing is that we have been so inwardly focused for so long that people are trying to, they've circled the rag wagons in their minds and developed more of a, I don't know if you want to call it, a legalistic, pharisaical view of church services and church activities, and they need to be encouraged to look outward. We export this. We don't hold it within. My two cents, please.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Mr. Antion.
Peter, how does the potential attendance look this time as opposed to last time?
Are we, as far as the sign up, so
sign up is about the same?
It's about the same, because we are almost 2 months yet from the event. We're about 6 or 7 weeks from the event. To have them, have 500 people signed up is actually, I think, a little bit ahead of where we were last time.
That's good.
So, yeah, I think we're just a little bit ahead. Mr. Reddy?
Are you able to track repeats? In other words, people who attended the first seminar and have now signed up for the second?
The pastor should be able to do that when they compare their sign-up list from last time to this time. They can go to their seminar website, log in, and see who's even signed up now to attend. And they can even send them an email right now if they want to and start some dialogue. Mr. McNeil?
We made a conscious decision to not just tell people signing up via email that we would not use their name in any other internal internal mailing list. So we were bound not to use those names to continue to market to by sending an email communication. Is that correct?
We will not do it en masse from the home office, but the pastor can contact them, remind them about the seminar, ask me if they have any questions afterwards. Just the pastor would do that.
Any follow-up? The pastor could then follow up beyond the lecture.
Yes, but you would not abuse that. You would maybe just do it one time, remind, and let them know there's another seminar in January, and that would be about it. You don't want to overdo it.
I wonder if we would revisit that in the future, because that it would seem like with those names coming in, that is a database that we might want to continue contact with.
And our privacy policy could be looked at, but it doesn't say that we won't contact them again. We just don't want to abuse it and them think that we're spamming them with all kinds of things. Yeah. Mr. Antion?
Did we do any more thinking about the type of clothing that people wear on the Sabbath coming? Because I noticed here in Cincinnati when we had it, most of us were in suits or sport coats or ties and shirt, and I noticed a lot of the people who came were not.
Yes.
And it was almost overwhelming for have 240 people and have maybe 10 or 11 or 19, whatever it was, who attended. And I'm just wondering if there's perhaps the idea of having a morning service for the brethren, and then for those who are interested in coming back in the afternoon for the seminars, that might be, as long as it didn't add more cost, might be an idea where it's not so overwhelming for people, because they say, this is a seminar, but then they come, and I don't want them to feel hijacked, you know what I mean? Like we're trying to pull something over on them.
Now, when they sign up, we tell them what the dress code is, and we tell them that the dress code is smart, casual, or better, and many will come in coat and tie. It says that on there.
Okay.
Here in Cincinnati, we asked our brethren if they'd like to have a separate service to leave room for the people to come to the seminar. But all the brethren said, no, we want to come to the seminar. And so we had a full house.
We did.
But they didn't want a separate service. They wanted to come to the seminar and see who showed up. But we do, when people sign up, they are told what their dress code is. And it says, and many will come in suit and tie. So hopefully that will help a little bit. And we added that kind of late in the game.
Yeah.
Mr. Stiver, one last comment.
We experimented with that too before, and basically came to the conclusion the men just pull their ties off. Some would replace a jacket with a sweater. But, you know, when you take your tie off, you're suddenly dressy, casual, and everybody was quite comfortable with that.
But we do have to be careful too that we still keep our own dress code going as well for the Sabbath, so you don't want to dress down too much. But there are some areas in the country where we have United Church of God congregations where you may think that they're dressing down, but that's the best that they have. In some areas, too.
Australia.
All right. Mr. Chairman, would you like to take a break then?
Yeah, a 5-minute break. Lunch is at 1:30, but I think some may need a break right now.
So let's come back at 10:45 then.